Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji, for giving your wonderful association. So today we have a good fortune of having Adi Gadadhar Prabhu with us, and he will be enlightening us on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, 4.7.3, excuse me. Please, Prabhuji, now please take over the call.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Ishwari Kumari Mataji, for so kindly reading out the 10 offenses and your kind introduction.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudiraye nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Vasudeva para veda vasudeva para makha vasudeva para yoga vasudeva para kriya vasudeva param jnanam vasudeva param tapa vasudeva paro dharmo vasudeva paragati. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Pankajana Bhaya Namo Pankaja Maline Namo Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Shatanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Premaha Pumaratomaha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Patradaranapara.
Hare Krishna. We will study two verses today from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 7, verse number 3 and 4. Verse number 3. So, Lord Shiva is speaking these verses to Brahmaji and the demigods after they come and beg forgiveness from Lord Shiva.
Rajapate dagdashirshno bhavat ajamukham shiraha mitrasya chakshushe sheta bhagam swam barhisho bhaga.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva continued, since the head of Daksha has already been burnt to ashes, he will have the head of a goat. The demigod known as Bhaga will be able to see his share of sacrifice through the eyes of Mitra. Verse number 4.
Pusha tu yajamanasya dadbir jakshatu pishtabhuk devah prakrata sarvangayema uccheshanam dadu.
Translation: the demigod Pusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples, and if alone, he will have to satisfy himself by eating dough made from chickpea flour. But the demigods, who have agreed to give me my share of the sacrifice, will recover from all their injuries. Purport: the demigod Pusha became dependent on his disciples for chewing. Otherwise, he was allowed to swallow only dough made of chickpea flour. Thus, his punishment continued. He could not use his teeth for eating, since he had laughed at Lord Shiva, deriding him by showing his teeth. In other words, it was not appropriate for him to have teeth, for he had used them against Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha. Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are listening. Thank you very much for joining this conference call. I also would like to beg each one of you, if you so desire, please, 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 please shower your blessings upon a fallen soul like me, so that being empowered by your blessings, I may be able to serve Bhagavatam class in such a way that our hearts become purified of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and false ego, which causes illusion. May our hearts become purified by the grace of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, so that our hearts ever remain attracted and attached to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. In this purified state, may we all always do what Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga want us to do for their pleasure. Hare Krishna. The Amala Purana, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, is telling us Maitreya Muni is instructing Vidur, and through Vidur he is instructing all of us. This most instructive Leela of Bhagwan Shiva. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Shivji is referred to as Bhagavan. What a wonderful personality this Lord Shiva is, who is associating with apparently very low class people, who sometimes doesn't even wear any clothes, who covers his body with the ash from crematorium. When we visit crematorium, we immediately come home and have, first thing we do is we take a bath to purify ourselves, because the whole crematorium is considered to be contaminated. And here is Lord Shiva, whose name Shiva means all auspicious. Just like Krishna is all attractive, because Shiva is always attracted to the all attractive, he's all auspicious. And this all auspicious Shiva is covering his body all over with the all inauspicious ashes from the crematorium. Who can understand Lord Shiva? If we touch a bone, we become immediately contaminated. But Shivji wears a garland of skulls and bones. Yet, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, yet it is this Lord Shiva who all our acharyas worship to gain entrance into Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jayo Jayo Gopeshwara Vrindavanama. Even Lord Shiva is even the protector, the guardian of the highest manifestation of devotional service, which is Sri Rasa Leela in the Rasa Sthali of Sri Vrindavan Dham. One cannot enter Krishna's Rasa Leela without gaining permission of Gopeshwar Mahadev. He is guarding the Rasa Leela. The personality who forced Radha and Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan to descend in the most merciful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also this Lord Shiva in the form of Advaita Acharya. When Lord Ramchandra comes for the purpose of Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya cha Dushkritam, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya, at that time Lord Shiva comes with Lord Ram in the form of his devotee Hanuman, and he assists Lord Ram in all these three activities: Paritranaya Sadhunam, to save the supreme devotee Srimati Sita Devi; Vinashaya cha Dushkritam, by killing so many demons, including Ravan's own son, Akshay Kumar; and by his own glorious example of Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava etiquettes, and through his speech, his instructions to Ravan, Dharma Samsthapana. He is teaching us the Dharma, supreme Dharma of Hari Bhakti. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yatho Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami instructs us. The definition of pure devotional service. The definition of the supreme Dharma for all of us. It is this Lord Shiva, such a mystical, such a misunderstood, yet such a special incarnation of our beloved Krishna. A guna avatar of Krishna. A special transformation of Krishna. Just like milk transforms into yogurt, Krishna has transformed into this very special form of Lord Shiva. The highest Goswamis, in the heart of their hearts, consider themselves Shaivites, followers of Lord Shiva. Why? Because we follow the Mahajans. We follow the Mahajans. And Lord Shiva is the Mahajan. He is the topmost Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasha rishiryasya matam na bhinnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya mahajano yena gata sapantha. Therefore, because we follow the topmost Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, we are Shaivites in that sense, that we are really, really, really worshipping and following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Otherwise, why would we be studying him in the topmost scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam? Why would he be referred in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhagavan? Even Narad Muni is referred to as Bhagavan in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Narad Muni also is a Shaktya Avesha avatar of Krishna. And Lord Shiva is a Guna avatar of Krishna. So much to learn from them. We should never be disrespectful to the devatas, especially to such great personalities as Lord Shiva. In our new enthusiasm, in our newly found Krishna consciousness, we should never make the mistake of offending great personalities like Lord Shiva or Lord Ganesh, Shivji's own son, who has such strong faith in Krishna Nam. But when there was a race between Kartikeya and him, Kartikeya was commander of the Devatagan of all the demigods. He had a very swift carrier, the peacock. And he had to circumambulate Bhudevi, the whole earth planet, and come back. Ganeshji had so much faith in Ram Nam that he simply wrote the name of Ram, circumambulated, and came back to Lord Shiva, to his father. And Kartikeya went very fast. He was looking behind, he could not see Ganeshji, because Ganeshji is not as physically, doesn't appear to be as fit as Kartikeya, and his mouth is not as swift as the peacock of Kartikeya. So when Kartikeya came back, he said, "See, I'm back. I completed the circumambulation, the pratakshina. And you have not even started yet." But Ganeshji had won, because spiritual intelligence always wins over physical strength and physical abilities. Of course, Kartikeya also is a very exalted devotee. But this pastime teaches us how much faith Ganeshji has in Krishna Nam, in Ram Nam. How clear Ganeshji is in his heart about what really matters. What conviction Ganeshji has in his heart that everything is contained in the holy name of Ram. Everything is contained. If you circumambulate Ram Nam, what to speak of circumambulating earth? You have circumambulated the whole Brahmanda. So everything is contained in Ram. Aham sarvasya prabhavu matah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante vam buddha bhava samanvita. This is a practical demonstration of someone who has a realization of this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Who wrote Bhagavad Gita? It was Ganeshji, the expansion of Shivji. Vyasadeva and Badrikashram dictated the 110,000 verses of Mahabharata. And Ganeshji wrote it down, but the condition of Vyasadeva was that as I dictate, I will be dictating, I will be speaking Mahabharata at the speed of wind. Just like the swift wind blows, the verses of Mahabharata are going to blow from my mouth. I want someone to transcribe it. I want a transcriptionist who can write it at the speed of wind. You see, when there are wind storms, they tell us the velocity, the speed of the wind. And sometimes it is like 100 miles an hour, 130 miles an hour. Very high speeds. So Vyasadeva is going to dictate and is going to speak Mahabharata at the speed of the wind. And he says, only someone who can keep up with my speed should transcribe the Mahabharata. Why? Because Vyasadeva did not want the transcriptionist to say to him, Srila Vyasadeva, wait, let me catch up, hold on, let me catch up, let me finish. What did you say? No. Vyasadeva did not want anyone to break his samadhi, to break his meditation. Because how wonderful is Mahabharata. It describes so many beautiful activities, leelas of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Not just activities of Krishna, but activities of Krishna's intimate devotees like Vidur, Bhishma Dev, the five brothers Pandavas, their mother Kunti, the greatly devoted Srimati Draupadi Devi, and others. And in the heart of this great Shastra, which is considered the fifth Veda, the Mahabharata, in its heart is contained the transcendental message directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, in the form of Shri Bhagavad Gita. When Vyasadeva is speaking, he is in complete absorption, complete trance meditation, as this beautiful leela of Mahabharata is manifesting in the lotus heart of Vyasadeva. And then through his lotus mouth, that same leela of Mahabharata is manifesting in the form of Vani, in the form of sacred sound vibration. Vyasadeva did not want anyone to interrupt him. And this leela is manifesting through sound vibration. So his condition to Ganeshji was, you should not interrupt. You should write, you should keep speed with me. You should write it, keep pace with me as I speak. And Ganeshji, also being so wise and intelligent and learned and dedicated to increase the sweetness of the exchange between Vyasadeva and himself, he puts a counter condition. So Vyasadeva puts a condition and Ganeshji puts a counter condition. All right, I will keep pace with your dictation, but you also promise me that you will keep speaking without interruption as I write, because both of them are in meditation. And Ganeshji actually was true to his words. When his pen broke as he was writing, in his ecstasy his pen broke. So Ganeshji and Vyasadeva continues to speak. The beautiful slokas are flowing out of his lotus mouth. What to do? The pen is broken. How do I write? Immediately Ganeshji, without a second thought, just like Draupadi Devi, without a second thought, tore her sari to bandage the bleeding finger of Krishna. Without a second thought. Not thinking that now, as Yudhishthira Maharaj's queen, staying in Indraprastha, who has just performed a Rajasya Yajna, I am the queen of the whole planet. And this beautiful golden embroidered sari studded with precious gems and diamonds that I am wearing is so precious. Let me ask for a cloth from one of my servants to bandage Krishna's finger. No. Without a second thought, she ripped a piece of her expensive sari and bandaged Krishna's fingers. Similarly, with that same mood of service and complete dedication, Ganeshji broke one of his own tusks and transformed it into a pen. to write. And he continued writing without interruption. So Ganeshji also said to Vyasdev that, yes, I will write, but you should not stop. You should also speak continuously, because I don't want any interruption in my writing, in my transcription. So then Vyasdev, to make it even sweeter and to bring out the glory of Ganeshji, to glorify Ganeshji, Vyasdev puts a counter condition. There was a condition, then there was a counter condition, and now there is a counter condition by Vyasdev. He tells Ganeshji, all right, I promise I will not interrupt speaking Mahabharata. I will speak it continuously without interruption. But you should also promise me that when you write the Mahabharata, you will not write anything that you have not understood. Whatever you write down on the palm leaves with your pen, you can only write that what you have completely understood from me and completely realized it in your heart. If there is anything that I speak which you don't understand, you do not have the adhikar to write it down. You can only write what you have completely understood and realized. We can learn two lessons from this. The first lesson is, how great is Ganeshji? How great a devotee is Ganeshji? Because he has complete realization of Bhagavad Gita. Ganeshji has complete realization of Bhagavad Gita. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yad Nyajva Neha Bhuyo Nyaj Nyatevam Avashishyate. Once knowing this, one who understands this Bhagavad Gita, nothing more remains for him to know. Yaj Nyatva Neha Bhuyo Nyaj Nyatevam Avashishyate. Nothing remains for him to know. One who knows Bhagavad Gita. One who knows Bhagavad Gita knows everything. Yo mam eva masamudo janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. Lord Krishna instructs Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, yo mam evam asamudo janati. Janati means one who knows. Asamudho means without any doubt, without any confusion, one who knows me. Yo mam eva, one who knows me without a doubt. Asamudho, janati. Yo mam evam asamudho janati purushottama. That Krishna is purushottam. He is the Uttama Purush. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who knows this, Janati, without any doubt, Asamuru. Sa Sarva Vid. That person knows everything. Sarva Vid. Vid means to know. Sarva means everything. One who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any doubt, such a person should be understood to have known everything. Yo mam evam asamudho janati purushottama sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. O Arjun, O descendant of Bharat Maharaj, such a person engages in my devotional service. Bhajati mam sarva bhavena. With full feeling, with all emotions, with all conviction, such a person worships me. Sarasmi. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And Ganeshji has complete realization of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, he could not have written down. The second lesson that we can learn from this pastime is that one should not present to others what one has not understood. This is very important. Ganeshji is presenting to us the Mahabharata. He is writing it down and he is presenting it to us. He is giving it to us. What Vyasadeva is trying to teach us, and Vyasadeva is the Acharya in our Sampradaya. Krishna gives knowledge to Lord Brahma. Brahmaji gives it to Narada Muni. Narada Muni gives it to his disciple Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva gave it to Shripad Madhavacharya, who is a direct disciple of Vyasadeva. So what Vyasadeva is teaching us is, one should not present to others what one has not understood. This is very important. If we try to preach to others or explain to others that which we have not heard from our Guru Varga, from our Guru Gana, something that we ourselves have not understood, just to gain respect, just to appear to be learned, if we start explaining it, speaking up on it, then we are Pashandi, we are pretenders, we are cheaters. We should not do that. This is the second lesson that we can learn from this pastime. First lesson is how great Ganeshji is, that he has completely realized Bhagavad Gita. And for us, as devotees in ISKCON, we should study these books carefully. And after having heard them through Parampara from Srila Prabhupada, then what we have heard, what we have learned, what we have understood, then we can present it based on our level of realization. But if somebody asks us something which we are not qualified to speak on, we should have the honesty and the humility to say that this is beyond my realization. I am sorry, I cannot speak on this topic. Please approach someone else and you can refer them to authorities who can answer that question with proper understanding. So it is it is this great Ganeshji who is an expansion of Shivji that we are talking about. When we study the scriptures carefully, when we study them deeply, we develop broad-mindedness. Krishna is the supreme personality of broad-mindedness. Absolutely. Kim va dayalu sharanam vrajema. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. Uddhavji, he glorifies Krishna in this way. That who can be so merciful as Krishna, that Putana came to murder him, came to kill him, but still he only saw the good in her. Yes, she tried to kill him, so Krishna killed her. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stadeva bhajamyam. As you approach me, Krishna will reciprocate. She tried to harm Krishna, kill Krishna. She got the reaction for that. Krishna killed her instead. But at the same time, Krishna did not overlook the good in her. After all, she approached him in the form of a mother, Dhatri. The exact word in this verse used is Dhatri. So Krishna gave her the eternal position of a Dhatri, of a mother, of a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. So because Krishna is broad-minded, because Krishna attracts devotees in so many different rasas, devotees from so many different backgrounds, as his aspiring devotees, we as Krishna Bhaktas should also develop broad-mindedness. We do not want sectarianism. We want broad-mindedness. This broad-mindedness is Pandita Samadarshana. We learn to appreciate different paths, different methods of worshipping Krishna, different moods and bhav of worship. We appreciate all these. Yet, at the same time, we maintain absolute loyalty to our Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is coming to us through our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That is called maturity. To maintain absolute loyalty to Srila Prabhupada and understanding that I do not have to run here and there for my spiritual upliftment, for my spiritual nourishment. Everything has been given to me by Srila Prabhupada. The absolute highest rasas of spiritual existence have been given to me by Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Whether it is the Gopi Geet or it is the Bhramar Geet that Srimati Radharani chanted in her intense separation from Krishna looking at a bumblebee, or whether it is the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is undergoing bodily transformations, his joints are getting dislocated, he is foaming and frothing at his mouth, his bones are cracking, his skin is becoming loose, his teeth are chattering. Instead of chanting the name of Krishna at Chataka Parvat, considering it to be Giriraj Govardhan, instead of chanting Krishna's name, he's muttering some words in that Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. The highest rasas that any sadhaka can aspire for, the highest forms of even Raganuga Bhakti, what to speak of Vaidhi Bhakti, everything has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. He will reveal it to us in due course of time. Having that firm faith and conviction, yet maintaining respect and appreciation for all other forms of worship, all other sampradayas, even all other religions. That is called Pandita Samadarshana. If we develop this maturity and broad-mindedness, then the vision of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who is an intimate servant of Rupa Goswami, then the vision of Bhakti Vinod Thakur will come true. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's vision is that all the world religions will come under the umbrella of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. This is the vision of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whose Tirobhav Tithi was just 3 to 4 days ago. How can this vision be achieved? This vision of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he had many visions. He envisioned the advent of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, out of his humility, said that vision that Bhakti Vinod Thakur had, that soon a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the spiritual world. And this great personality will take the Sankirtan movement all over the world. And he will actually make the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithvi Ete Acharya Nagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Mora Naam, to come true. This personality will make this prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come true. Our Srila Prabhupada, in one of his classes, said that this prediction refers to Om Vishnupada Paramhamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottara Shata Shri Shriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada. That is what our Prabhupada says out of his love and humility for his Gurudev. At the same time, as followers of both Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Srila Prabhupada and our Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we can appreciate that this prediction of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, predicting the advent of such a great empowered Shakti Avesh preacher of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, is also our His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also envisioned that one day the court magistrates will wear tilak and go to the courtrooms. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also envisioned that British men, American people, French men, African people, they will all come to Sri Navadvip Dham and they will be running along the streets of Mayapur chanting Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. All these predictions have come true by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the hard work of Srila Prabhupada, by the dedication and conviction of Srila Prabhupada. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur also predicted that all the world religions will come under the umbrella of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Yajna. I have often thought about this prediction of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. How can in the future this come true? It can only come true if we as ISKCON devotees go deep in our Bhakti Shastras, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Upadeshamrit, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If we study these literatures carefully, we develop broad-mindedness, then we can see the big picture. We can appreciate the great work done by Lord Buddha. How his heart was pained when he saw animals being slaughtered in the name of Vedas. Ashwamedha gavalambam sanyasam palapaitrakam devarena sutottim kalau pancham vivarjayet. Our scriptures mention that five activities are prohibited in Kali Yuga. Ashwamedha, sacrificing a horse or a goat or any animal. Gavalambam, or sacrificing a cow. Horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, any animal sacrifice. Ashwamedha gavalambam. Sannyas. Taking sannyas. Palapaitrakam, making offering of meat. To the ancestors, pitras, making offering of meat to the ancestors, or making offering of meat or eating meat. Devarena sutotpatim, to produce a child. Suta means child, utpati means to create, to beget a child. Suta, to beget a child from Devar, is prohibited in Kali Yuga. Kalau Pancham Vivarjaya. These five activities, meat eating, animal sacrifice, whether it is horse sacrifice or cow sacrifice, taking sannyas, and begetting a child from anyone other than one's husband, is prohibited in Kali Yuga. You see, in Mahabharata, when Vichitravirya passed away without begetting a child, at that time his mother, Satyavati, who had previously begotten Vyasadeva from Parashar Muni, now Satyavati was the wife of Maharaj Shantanu, who had passed away. And their son, Vichitravirya, also had passed away without begetting any children from Ambika, Ambalika. So what to do? So then Satyavati called her other son, Vyasadeva, and requested him, please come down from Badrinath, come to Hastinapur, come into your Kuru Vamsha, and unite with Ambika and Ambalika, and give a child to us who can continue the great Kuru Vamsha. Otherwise the Kuru Vamsha will end, because Bhishma Deva is Vaishnika Brahmachari. He has taken a vow never to give up his celibacy. So Vyasadeva was the Devar of Ambika and Ambalika, because Vyasadeva was the cousin brother of Vichitravirya, who was the husband of Ambika and Ambalika. So in Dwapar Yuga, in other yugas, it was allowed in special circumstances when the mother or father authorized it. Just to beget a child, they would come, and it was not a lusty union. It was not something that they would meditate on for the rest of their life. I enjoyed this with my sister-in-law. No, it was utterly with the intention of seva. The dynasty has to continue. Such a great Kuru Vamsha this is. For generations and generations, this family has been serving mankind, serving them by being ideal kings, protecting them, protecting and upholding Dharma. The highest possibility of having a great Kshatriya king is in this family, because they will employ proper teachers, proper acharyas to train that child from the beginning. The royal blood will be there, that Garbhadhan samskar will be there, all other samskaras will be there. As a result, the child is most likely to be a pious king. So this Vamsha has this special service, has this special empowerment. Therefore, this Vamsha has to continue. So I will do the seva of giving them the donation of my own virya, so that a child is born who can carry on the legacy. So under special circumstances, by special empowerment, when authorized by superiors like Mother Satyavati, Vyasdev came and did the needful purely as a matter of seva. But all these things are banned in Kali Yuga. Why? Because we don't have such purity of purpose as Vyasdev did. We will be meditating on it for the rest of our lives as a sensual conquest that we achieved. Yes, we have such a nonsensical brain. We don't have control over our minds. That is why all these things are prohibited in Kali Yuga. So if you understand what was the mood of Lord Buddha, he came out of sheer compassion for the animals who were being killed, and also for the misguided people who were killing them, who were going to hell because of animal slaughter. Out of compassion, his heart was bleeding and crying, he came. And he told them, don't do this. But it is given in the Vedas. Then reject the Vedas. Then, when the Vedas were rejected, at least the violence came to a halt. People became little non-violent and peaceful. Then Sripad Shankaracharya came and he said, that void, that Shunyavad that Buddha preached, actually that void is not void, it is one. Everything is one. It is not zero, it is one. And Shankaracharya, who is incarnation of Lord Shiva himself, Mayavadam asat shastram prachannam bauddham uchate mayavam vihitam devi kalau brahmana murtina. Lord Shiva tells Mother Parvati in Padma, I think it is Padma Puran, that Mayavad asat shastram, this Mayavad philosophy, that ultimately everything is Maya, Jagan Mithya. Everything is Maya. This Mayavad philosophy is asat shastra. It is not true dharma. It is a false religion. Prachannam bauddha murchate. It is actually preaching Buddhism only, but in a covered way. Buddha said everything is zero, shunyavad. But I am saying that everything is one. There is no variety. Nirvisheshavad. There is no variety in the spiritual world. Actually, everything is one. Brahma Satya, Jagan Mithya. This whole creation is Maya. Everything is Maya. Even Krishna, Ram, their form, their pastime, their name, ultimately everything is Maya. That's why it is called Mayavad. So, Prachannam Bauddham Uchyate, Mayaiva Vihitam Devi. O Devi, I will preach it. A covered form of Buddhism. Kalau Brahmana Murtina. In Kali Yuga, in the form of a Brahman. Shankaracharya. Shuji came as Shankaracharya and using the Vedas, using Bhagavad Gita, using Vedanta Sutra and his Shankara Bhashya, his comment on Vedanta Sutra, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, Shripad Shankaracharya, he established, re-established the authenticity of the Vedas. That is his external purpose. But internally, his headquarters were at Jagannath Puri. Adi Shankaracharya's headquarters were at Jagannath Puri. Why? Because internally, he is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Internally, he said, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda. Internally, he gave us Jagannath Ashtakam. Kadachit Kalindi. Jagannath Swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavatu Me. Shankaracharya is in the mood of separation. Krishna, what a thankless service I am doing. What philosophy I am preaching. Because of my preaching, because of my word jugglery, because of the trick words that I am using, people are going to think that your form is an illusion, your name is an illusion, your leela is an illusion ultimately. And they can become one with you. What a degraded philosophy. What misunderstanding they are going to get. So he's feeling separation. Oh, Jagannath, when will I again become that same preacher, Shankar, who is boldly preaching your glories? Rama Rameti Rameti Rame Rame Mano Rame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varaname. When will I be in my natural mood of chanting your names, loudly dancing to your kirtan? When will that day come? Jagannath Swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavatu Me. This Jagannath Ashtakam has been given to us in his internal ecstasy by Adi Shankaracharya. Internally, very great devotee. Never touched Srimad Bhagavatam out of respect. Shankaracharya. Then we can understand. Then we can reconcile the apparent contradictions in this world. What a great service Prophet Muhammad has done. What a great service. People who were having sexual intercourse with their mothers and sisters, tribal people who had forgotten all culture, living in the deserts, animal-like, uncivilized people, mlechas, yavanas, he elevated them. At least do not have sex with your mothers, with your sisters. Worship that one God. Stop all this idol worship. Worshipping these different stones and, you know, you have no understanding. You cannot understand God. Don't drop a picture of God. You're too fallen. Don't worship any idols. Gave them all these rules and regulations to elevate them from the level where they were. Kala Desha Patra, time, place and circumstances. Bhavishya Puran mentions that my messenger, my prophet will come and he will preach in the desert areas. Bhavishya Puran also mentions Son of God will come and he will preach to the fair-skinned people, Jesus Christ. Again, when people were so degraded from whatever level they were, he uplifted them. Jainism started with the incarnation of Krishna, Rishabhdev. He is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. We quote his teachings. We worship his example. He is an avatar of Krishna, Rishabhdev. The whole Jain religion, Jainism, is based on his teachings. So when we understand our scriptures deeply, we are able to reconcile the apparent contradictions in this world. And then when we have this broad vision, we maintain absolute loyalty to Srila Prabhupada. We have impeccable sadhana. Our internal meditation is always Vraja Bhakti. At the same time, however, in a broad-minded way, we are able to reconcile these apparent contradictions in the world. And we are able to appreciate and respect them. Amani na mana dena. Then Kirtaniya Sadahari. And all these people eventually will understand what is the depth of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. What is the depth of our Siddhanta? What is the purity? How everything can be reconciled by accepting this philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Dev. Then, out of a feeling of brotherhood and appreciation, all the world religions will come under the non-sectarian umbrella of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Dev, and the vision of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur will come through. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for the wonderful class once again. This is Damodaran Das. Prabhu, I have a few things. I mean, the lecture is very knowledgeable, very interesting. A lot of other things you incorporated in these shlokas. Regarding the Bhavishya Puran, I read somewhere that you know, the mention of Jesus Christ and Muhammad was incorporated in the Bhavishya Puran later on. The original copy that somebody got, which was like a few centuries ago, does not mention those things. And the shloka describing Jesus Christ has been added, but there is no shloka even in the current Bhavishya Puran which mention Muhammad. Actually, there is one shloka in which Moho, Mad, Matsar, you know, there's some mention of that, and they, Moh and Mad, they combine to this, especially that Zakir Naik, he quotes that that means Muhammad. But actually it's Moh and Mad. And they say they incorporated that Jesus Christ to legitimize Christianity in the Indian scriptures. So that's what my understanding is. And it is said that any incarnation or avatar that's not mentioned in the scripture is not bona fide avatar. So that was my understanding. I just wanted to put it in your wonderful lecture. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Damodaranand Prabhu. That's a very important point. So Prabhuji, there will always be difference of opinion, and the scriptures as we have them today, there will always be a section of people who will say that this is not the original Shastra, it has been modified. There have been interpolations and modifications. And that is true even for Bhagavad Gita. So there are people who say that the first verse of the 13th chapter is not there in Bhagavad Gita. It has been added. So some versions of Bhagavad Gita and some bona fide sampradayas do not carry that verse, 13.1. That is one example. Another example is Mahabharata. Because the Sanskrit of Mahabharata is very simple Sanskrit. You know, lot of Sanskrit scholars, it is said that they have put their own verses, they have modified the text. So there are different versions of Mahabharata, even today. There are different versions of Mahabharata in Sanskrit, but the stories are different. And from our acharyas, we can understand that these are later modifications and interpolations, which we don't accept. So how do we know which is the true Mahabharata? Fortunately, we have the commentary of Shripad Madhvacharya on Mahabharata. So whichever verses are not in harmony with his commentary, we can understand to have been interpolated later on. As far as your point about Muhammad and Prophet Muhammad and Jesus Christ are concerned, it is very important, Damodarananda Prabhu, to understand this very clearly. So I do not know the exact verses where it is mentioned, but I have read a book by His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhu from Pune, India, and in that book he writes, he does not mention whether Prophet Muhammad's name itself is mentioned or not, but the activity is mentioned, number one. Number two, even Jesus Christ, as far as I remember, name is not mentioned, the activity is mentioned. It is a vague mention. For Prophet Muhammad, it is mentioned that a messenger of God will come. Messenger means prophet. A messenger of God will come and he will elevate the people living in the desert areas. And for Jesus Christ, it is mentioned a son of God will come and he will preach. Something like that. I read this book, Prabhu. It was probably 1999 or something. I read this in my initial years in Krishna consciousness. So it's been almost 20 years now. So it's a small booklet that Radhe Shyam Prabhu had written, and it is there. I've read it. So that is my source of information. But regardless whether they are mentioned in Bhavishya Purana or not, on the authority of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand beyond any doubt in our hearts that Prophet Muhammad, who started Islam religion, and Jesus Christ, from whom Christianity descends, both are very, very worshipable and authorized personalities who carried out the work of God. This is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada and this is mentioned by his exalted disciples also. I can share tapes with you. It is clearly mentioned that what Prophet Muhammad did was a great service, and we accept him as a great personality, as a prophet, as a messenger of God who elevated people from their very low consciousness based on time, place and circumstances. As far as Jesus Christ is concerned, there is no lack of evidence that Jesus Christ is absolutely authorized by all our Vaishnava Acharyas. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had great appreciation for Prophet Muhammad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had great appreciation for Jesus Christ. There is a book called The Seventh Goswami, which is a biography of His Divine Grace, Sachinandan Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is written by Rupa Vilas Prabhu. You can read that book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had lot of appreciation for Islam. In fact, he studied Islam. He had lot of respect and appreciation for Prophet Muhammad as well as for Jesus Christ. So did Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was in Tehran, he was giving his Bhagavatam class, and Allahu Akbar, Allah, you know, that prayer started from a mosque close by. Prabhupada, out of respect for Islam, he stopped his class, he stopped his katha, he closed his eyes and he was absorbing the sound vibrations. And when that prayer, he waited till the prayer was over. And when that prayer in Arabic was over, Prabhupada opened his eyes and said, how beautiful it was. And regarding Jesus Christ, Prabhupada said that he is Shaktyavesh.
Prabhupada himself says that Jesus Christ was Shaktyavesh avatar. So whether we have the original verse, whether the authenticity of that Shastra has been maintained over generations or not, that will always remain controversial. That is why if we don't have Praman in the Shastra, we take Praman from the Sadhu, from the Guru. It is not just Shastra, it is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we have to, from the authority of Srila Prabhupada, on the authority of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the authority of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in our hearts, we can be convinced that these are great personalities who have done great service for Krishna, and therefore they are very dear to Krishna. And if we see that connection, then there will be real harmony. Does that make sense, Damodaranand Prabhu?
Prabhuji, it makes perfect sense. And my comment was that not to deny that they are great personalities or they have done great things, that our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur praise them or appreciate them. There is no doubt. Even if I say anything against those personalities, it will be like, you know, throwing mud at the moon. So that was not my intent. My comment was that to legitimize their mention in the scriptures is not true. And I agree with you that, you know, there are some changes in the scriptures that can happen in the Smriti scriptures, not in the Shruti scriptures. And the beauty is that Bhagavad Gita is a Shruti within the Smriti, which is Mahabharata. So the point I was trying to make is that those mentions are not there, and there are scholars who have studied those scriptures. And because Muhammad has so many names, and even if you tell the Muslims that he is worshipable, you know, it will be an offense to them, because they don't think that Muhammad, they think Muhammad was a perfect man. He is not God, he is not divine, he is not sacred. So you cannot worship Muhammad in Islam itself. So, I mean, there are a lot of things I don't want to go into discussion. My only point was that, you know, the scholars have studied that those two personalities are not mentioned in our scriptures. Maybe their work or something may have been indirectly mentioned, but like Buddha is mentioned, you know, Jainism we mentioned in Bhagavatam, these are not mentioned in the Shruti scriptures. So that's what I wanted to say.
Hare Krishna, thank Prabhuji. You. I have one comment in that I read one some devotee's post only on a Bhavishya Purana. I don't know right now, I can share otherwise. It's Muhammad the Prophet. About him, Prabhuji was writing. He is sent by the Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is a pure devotee of Lord. And then he sent, when he was there, but he was sent to these people who are out of an area, and who is following the Vedic line, other than these people who are not following rule and regulation, who could not follow for them. He go them and then preach this. Then it was mentioning that the in scripture his name also. What is the Bali Maharaj, that servant who went and preached, and that is the person Muhammad the Prophet. It was actually mentioned the name also, but right now if I find, I'll post later in our group. It's in different our language. The Prabhuji was posting in Nepalese language. But it was mentioned, Prabhu. He was telling in that is a very source, I think. Bhavishya Purana only he put all the things. And then I'm not sure, but I read in that way. He is sent by the Bali Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Is this Anjana Gopika Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So thank you very much, Damodaranand Prabhu and Anjana Gopika Mataji, for your comments. So yes, the whole point of the discussion was that we have to develop harmony
in this world. That was the whole point of the discussion. But yes, thank you. Very valuable points both of you have made. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glory to Krishna, Prabhupada.
So, very thoughtful and very timely, and you mentioned Lord Jagannath. Yesterday was the Yatra, so it was very timely. You glorified Shankaracharya and all the propagandists of many dharmas according to time, place and circumstances. So that was the vision of a Bhaktivinoda Thakur you very wonderfully captured. I want to share one perspective in the Bhagavad Gita sloka which you quoted also. Lord Krishna says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham. Then, what is the next line?
Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvashya.
Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvashya. In every respect, everybody Krishna is saying. See Krishna's broad-mindedness. That is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling. Definitely, in every yuga, in every time, the great stalwart acharya teachers, incarnations come, and they shape accordingly. They have to uplift the humanity to the higher consciousness because with the influence of time, the degradation takes place, and degradation is taking place every moment. So, in this creation, in every generation, more teachers and more uplifters will come. And from broad-minded point of view, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur you brought, it is so timely. Now, so in this sloka, Krishna says, everybody in any way is following only his way. What does it mean? It means that nobody can follow any other way. Everybody, Krishna says, is following his way. This is the amazing broad-mindedness. Because his way, because every way is created by Krishna. Every way, it may or may not reach Krishna, but every way is created by Krishna. If you study, you must have studied Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on this sloka. It is so amazing. The point which you are trying to establish today, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that any following, whether Jainism or Muslimism or Buddhism or impersonalism or everything, because those who are following different ways of attaining the Supreme, Krishna just sanctions them because it at least elevates them from degradation to some extent. And eventual upliftment, the highest aspiration which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, we can aspire for ourselves, and whosoever we can help, definitely we will try to bring them to the highest fold. But we have to be watchful that we don't become an imposition on others' convictions of whatever sort, because Krishna has this broad-mindedness. Like the government, it creates many... All the ways or the paths are created, constructed by the government, correct? Now, every way may not reach the White House. But nonetheless, all the ways are created by the Supreme. So from that point of view, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that Krishna adjusts, okay, whosoever, any concept of Supreme, directly the Shyam Sundar or not, or impersonal, whatever, let them come and follow. Roundabout, whichever, everybody is following my way only.
Thank you so much, Bhakti Swarup Govinda Maharaj. Thank you very much for your comments and enlightening us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. I want to thank you for such a wonderful and informative class. Actually, my I don't have any question, but I wanted to ask if we want to take knowledge for, some basic knowledge for religion, Buddha religion, Jainism, means like some basic, and Christianity, and Shankaracharya's religion. So which book we should refer to? Which is the best book we can like get knowledge about these religions?
Hare Krishna. So there is not one book, Mataji, but Srila Prabhupada has written many books, and at various places in his books he talks about world religions. And there is a book where his disciple asks him questions about different philosophies, and Prabhupada gives different comments of how to look at it from a Vedic perspective. So, and then there are some books also by the preachers in the line of Srila Prabhupada who have written books. I can send you some of those, names of some of those books. But most of what we know is coming from Srila Prabhupada's interviews, Srila Prabhupada's books, some of his interviews which have been made into books. His followers also have done research. I know Radhesham Prabhu has extensively done research in this field. And, he's very Shastrically oriented, Radhesham Prabhu. So he's one of those exalted devotees that I have read his books. At least I have not read them recently, but in my initial years I used to read a lot, because it was books like The Science of Self-Realization, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. It were these books that convinced me. And in many places in these books, Prabhupada shares his views about the world religions. When I come, I cannot think of it right now, but as I come across, I can share with you passages or certain paragraphs or certain books or booklets which shed light on this. Would anyone like to comment on this? Is there any book?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Just to continue on what you said, for new devotees, especially coming in from with no knowledge at all, especially coming in from, in this scenario where we are in the United States, coming in from Christianity, The Science of Self-Realization, as Mataji had asked, what is the beginning or a basic, that is one of the best books to refer to, and even for us to study and to, convey certain very basic questions that new devotees would have. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. At least I would have now motivation to read that book. I have that book, but I never read. But now I will read that book. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, Mataji, I read it. I'm giving you from my own experience. I use it like not as a book. I use it as like a Bhagavad Gita, because Srila Prabhupada, in very, very simple language and very nicely, without hurting or humiliating the other person, has answered certain to-the-point questions. So that's a very basic, even if you don't have any knowledge of any other, that's a very good book to start with. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, actually, what you said is very important, without humiliating others, we have to like give answers to their question and we have to deal with. So thank you so much, Mataji. And please, Prabhuji, please share with me all, if you come across with any of these information about different religions and all.
Yes, Mataji. Mataji, can you introduce yourself, the Mataji?
Ishwari Kumari Devadasi.
Yes, and who was the Mataji who responded to your question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Ananda Viharini Devadasi from Bloomington, Illinois.
Hare Krishna, Damodar Ananda.
Prabhu's
better.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Bol.
And thank you to Damodar Anand Prabhu also. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can I ask the last question quickly?
Yes, Prabhu.
Can I ask Prabhuji, can you just mention two most important takeaways from today's class? Just share with us.
May I know your name, Prabhu?
Prabhu, this is Gaur Keshav Das from Atlanta.
Gaur Keshav Prabhu. So the two takeaways, two most important points from today's class is the mood of compassion of Gauranga Mahaprabhu that is coming to us, this pure science of bhakti that is coming to us through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, coming to us through Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, how we should study their books carefully and develop real broad-mindedness. It is said that one should not be so broad-minded that the brain falls out. Not that kind of broad-mindedness. But we have to understand our Siddhanta, internalize it, practice it. At the same time, we should be able to reconcile the differences that we see around us in this world. And the second point is that the verses that we read today, I actually wanted to elaborate on this more, but we can understand from the great example of Lord Shiva and Ganeshi that how it is so easy to misunderstand people based on their external appearance, how they appear, who they associate with, what they are wearing. But it is not for us to judge them. We have to understand what is their intention and what is the depth of their Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we may commit Vaishnava Aparadha, just like we are reading in today's Bhagavatam class, how Lord Shiva was offended. And then so many troubles the demigods had to go through. Somebody's eyes were gouged out. Somebody's teeth were broken. Somebody's head was chopped off. Somebody's limbs were broken because of offending Lord Shiva. And how Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, is easily pacified. And he gave all that back. Okay, you can eat through your disciples. You can have the eyes of this person. You can have a head of a goat. You can have a beard of goat. So he's giving it back. But two things. They still had to suffer. Like, for example, he could not eat with his own teeth, but had to accept it through his disciples. He could only have chickpea flour. So some residual suffering, purification was still remaining. And second thing is, in the second verse that we read, Shivji said, but those demigods who have offered me my share of sacrifice, they will completely recover from their injuries. So when we become purified and we give up all the malice that we have in our heart against another Vaishnava, and we take shelter of Vaishnava Seva, then we can be forgiven. So these are the two points that I would say are your take home. And the point about religions that we were all discussing, you know, it should not sound controversial, or it should not sound like, you know, there has been disagreement. The whole point was how we can harmonize and reconcile the apparent differences and contradictions that we see in the world so that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision can come true. That was the take home, Prabhu. Is that okay, Gaur Keshav Prabhu?
Yes, thank you very much, Prabhu. Yeah. I joined a bit late.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one question, Prabhu. Prabhuji, we moved in a new place and then new devotee. If we make train and then tell about Krishna consciousness, how we should approach them, Prabhu, because it's a very new place, and if you have friend also, if we tell them directly Krishna consciousness, I don't think it will work also. Means how we should approach, should we pray for them every day, or what is the best way? Because this is the Mahaprabhu's mission, and if they come and contact with this woman, it will be very nice. But thinking how we deal. It's very, very new to see, Prabhu, very new.
Anjana Gopika Mataji,
yes,
your wonderful question brought me to Jaladuta. Our Srila Prabhupada, and he was on Jaladuta, and he was writing his famous Jaladuta prayers. He had the same situation. You have moved to a new place, and Srila Prabhupada also was leaving, had left his Radha Damodar temple in Seva Kunj, Rajadham, and he is here at the pyre in Connecticut. So, Massachusetts. So, the new land, Prabhupada had never been outside India. You know, he had a thick Bengali accent. And how am I going to preach to this completely new audience? How are they going to understand the message of Sri Chaitanya Dev? And what did Prabhupada do? And that is the answer to your question. Prabhupada simply prayed to Krishna, simply begged Krishna, and he took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was feeling separation from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was praying to Krishna, that Krishna, please give me the right words to speak so that your message will penetrate the hearts of all these people. And then when your message penetrates their heart, then they will become happy. So give me the power, give me the strength to convince these people about your message. I am just a messenger. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he said, Eka kiya amar nahi paya bala Hari Nama Sankirtane. Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, I cannot do it myself. Alone I don't have the strength to push forward this Nama Sankirtan movement. So just we all need to depend on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, we have to beg Krishna, beg Gaur Nitai to give us the right intelligence, to give us the right mood, to give us the right words, so that we can serve all these new people that you are meeting in the new place where you have moved. Serve them by bringing them closer, a little closer to Krishna. So take association, Mataji. And just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I cannot do it alone. Don't think you are alone. Your Guru Maharaj is with you. All your Shiksha Gurus are with you. Srila Prabhupada is with you. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is with you. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the whole parampara is with you. As long as you are holding their message in your vani, their mercy is with you. Their mercy is with all of us. And we have to just pray. As Prabhupada is our Acharya, he is teaching us what to do in exact situation that you are in. We have to pray, we have to beg for Krishna's mercy. May Krishna give us the intelligence, the right words, to somehow bring these people closer to Krishna, who is the reservoir of all happiness. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Please, as you pray, Prabhu. I don't know, it's very difficult, but I wish you want. I will come in. Thank you so much.
Prabhuji, I have a question.
Yes.
You quoted this note. You quoted this note as a five things are prohibited in. Some noise is coming in the background. You can hear me, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji, I can hear. Can you introduce yourself? Can everybody mute their phones except the Prabhuji who is asking questions? Prabhuji, can you introduce yourself and then ask? So I know.
This is Dasa Dasa no Das.
Please. No. You can correct me. You can comment. But I'm not qualified.
We are all learning. We are getting enlightened. We pray that we may sustain such a wonderful understanding. So the five things that Ashwamedham Gavadambam reported, and that if you that the fourth that Ashwamedham Gavadambam, and what is that the third one?
Sanyasam Palapaitrikam.
Sanyasam Palapaitrikam. So Palapaitrikam means offering the meat, offering to the forefathers. In that regard, you want to, because you want to say something regarding not offering even to the forefathers the meat in Kali Yuga. So looks like there was tradition to offer meat to the forefathers previously, but Kali Yuga it is prohibited. So some reason, some enlightenment you can share, you may have studied.
Prabhuji, Maharaj, it was, with your blessings, I will. I don't know much about this, but as you said, that it appears that there was a tradition and of offering meat to the pitras, to the ancestors. So it appears that people do their worship in different modes, depending on the mode that they are in. So some people who are indulging in Masahar, in eating meat, they were offering, you know, as we do Pindadan or as we offer during Shraddha, we offer Lord Krishna's Prasad, Mahaprasad, to the ancestors for their upliftment. It appears that some people were doing sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and then whatever the meat is from the animal that was being offered as Prasad to the Pitras. But because animal sacrifice is prohibited in Kali Yuga as a continuation, we can understand that offering meat or eating meat or offering meat to the ancestors as sacrifice, it is not allowed in Kali Yuga, because we don't have the qualified brahmanas who can give a new body to the sacrificed animal. So because animal sacrifice is banned, therefore, Masahar is also banned. So, Yadnya Shishtha Ashina Santo Muchante Sarva Kilbisha Bhunjate Teto Agham Papa Yaha Pachanti Atma Karanati Bhagavad Gita Krishna says. So, Yadnya Shishtha, the food which is sanctified in sacrifice, Yadnya Shishtha Ashina, to eat. So, we can only eat food which is sanctified by Yadnya. So, because meat, mass cannot be sanctified through Yajna, because the Ashwamedh Yajna, you know, it itself is, or Gomedh Yajna is banned in Kali Yuga, then where is the question of offering their meat and sacrifice, or offering their meat to the ancestors, or eating that meat? That is my understanding, Maharaj. Please correct me if I am wrong.
No, everything wonderful. You already know, I just wanted to bring this emphasis on something very specific. Because say they are prohibited in Kali Yuga. So we have to emphasize the nature of this time in Kali Yuga. The entanglement, the distractions, time, everything is so prominent. So people, even in the name of religion, because it is mentioned in the Vedas and different places, as you properly said, there are no qualified brahmanas. But apart from qualified brahmanas, this Kali Yuga is so degraded. We do discuss about it, but how degraded it is. In every moment, even our mind has different dualities, multiple dualities and different things. So seeing the very degraded nature of this Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan is the only rescuing. Even Bhagavad Gita and many things, because but the Sankirtan alone will rescue. And within the Sankirtan thing, what Srila Prabhupada has given this broad-mindedness and rescuing rather than following the lengthy process and so many rules and regulations and this and that. Because Vedas, those who come across Vedas first time, they become so fascinated, so many amazingly fascinating things, and they seem very similar to whatever so-called habits and things people have been doing. But they will not save them, even if we are fascinated by the Veda. Only Sankirtan movement of Mahaprabhu is the only rescuing force in Kali Yuga. And that's why these injunctions, five things, have been given. So even for sannyas, one can argue, because for argument's sake, maybe we always pros. Some will agree, some will disagree. But our acharyas describe sannyas exclusively for propagating Sankirtan movement. Other than that, sannyas is prohibited, because sannyas has such rules and regulations and such high standard. Again, the emphasis on the influence of Kali Yuga is so prominent that sannyas is extremely difficult. But if one can absorb in propagating Sankirtan movement, then that discount is given. Otherwise, one should not, just for the sake of sannyas, that I'm so renowned, so I'm so renowned, because I'm the sannyasi, is the spiritual master of all the other varnas and ashramas. Not for that purpose, but to become servant of the servant of the servant. I just wanted to emphasize the influence of Kali, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Bhakti Swarup Govinda Maharaj, for elaborating on the point of Palapatrakam and sannyas. They are very, very nice, Prabhu Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, our Guru Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, today's verse is like, they are showing, like Lord Shiva is saying that I did not want to punish all these demigods, but they got punishment because they supported Daksha, who was not in the right association, and like, you know, not in the right mindset, he was doing the thing against Vaishnava. So that is what it is, the essence of today's class, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji, this is a very long pastime, and we are only covering small particles of the drops in each class.
Yeah.
But yes, there are so many lessons. One lesson is exactly as you mentioned. But yes, I agree.
Yeah, so at the beginning I did not understand, like, who is the demigod Bhaga and who is the demigod Pusha, but in the sense, all the demigods who were present there, they all got punished. And they, like, somebody's head is cut, and somebody's arms are cut, and somebody cannot chew, and all the things, like, somebody cannot see. So they have to take help of other demigods to see, and only demigods can do that. Humans cannot do that, actually. As they mentioned, like, he has to chew with his disciples' teeth. It's possible in, maybe in Swargaloka, not here.
Very nice point, Mataji. So because we are not demigods, we should be even more careful about Vaishnava Parada.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Anybody else wants to say something?
Hare Krishna, Jaya Adikadara Das. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam to your Shila Prabhupada, Shila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for your association. Jai Shri Adi.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. We were missing you on the call. Thank you for coming. So we will end here now. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu.